Greetings and blessings to each of you this morning as we continue our service. Good to see all of you here, all of you 1,300 people. that's okay, Brock. I thought that was pretty good. I imagined the house to be a little fuller when there's 1,300, but that's okay. This morning you can turn to Ephesians chapter 6, and I'm going to look at the verses 10 through 18. This morning, and I've titled this, To Be Strong in the Lord. When I started thinking about this, the verse came to my mind about the Lord is the strength of my life, and it's in Psalm 27, 1. Actually, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And I was thinking of, that's where my mind was, just the strength that we need to stand today in our Christian lives, the things that we face and so on. But it's changed a little bit then as I read through the Christian armor and so on, and so I am going to refer to some of that, and where some of this conflict comes from, and how we can deal with it, and what we as Christians need to do in preparing and being able to stand. Let's read, starting with verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. As you look at this and as you read this, and it gives us the tools, describes the tools that we need so that we can stand. And the focus is on be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. As we face life and the trials and the conflicts that come our way, it's unless we are prepared and are rooted and grounded, it's easy to fall. It's easy to be discouraged. It's easy to turn away from. And I know that none of us like conflict. I don't think so. For the most people don't like conflict. We try to avoid it. And sometimes people they run away from it and try to think that they're going to get away by going somewhere else, but it doesn't happen sooner or later. And as Christians, there are times that we have to face the conflict that comes and recognize where it comes from and deal with it. And that's the only way that we can stand. There are four times that it talks about, uses the place, heavenly places, that phrase in Ephesians, at least four times, maybe it's more than that, but the four times that I've found. And so, just as a little background, it seems like the theme of the scriptures, so many of the scriptures, the writers talk about suffering. There is be prepared for suffering, and the Christian life involves suffering and so on. And again, it's not something I like. I don't like to suffer. And I don't think you do either. And Paul talks about even the necessities that he is willing to do without. And it's like, no, you know, thinking of this hurricane coming, the biggest thing, I guess, that I feared was power outage. That is the most unhandy thing that there is. In my opinion, it creates so much work. And yet, I'm sure the people that were in the storm, in the path, would have been happy if all they would have had to worry about was power outage. But anyway, and so to me, that's a necessity, and I don't like it when the necessities aren't there that we have, the comforts and so on. But Paul says that I'll get to that later. I have that scripture. But let's go to Ephesians 1, verse 3. It starts out there, and again, it's just giving the picture of God, the way that God has prepared, has blessed, has chosen us as his people, and how that he has already paved the way for us to be victorious and to be able to stand in the conflicts that we face. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. How much better can it get than that? That we, God already, the union between God and the Son, Jesus Christ, and the Spirit. And he's blessed us with all spiritual blessings. He's included us in that union of the Spirit, of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. The second time in verse 20, he also uses that phrase, heavenly places, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. And then in chapter 2, verse 6, and he hath raised us together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And then chapter 3, verse 10, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. I want to read something that I found that I think helps explain some of this and gives us a picture of really what God had in mind through Jesus Christ and what he did in perfecting and performing the will of the Father. God, the Creator, the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's in verse 3 of chapter 1. And it shows the exaltation of Christ, his resurrection, and then his enthronement at God's right hand. And then it also brings in we as Christians, the union that we have with the exalted Christ. How better can that be than to be exalted with Christ, to be a part of his kingdom, and to be recognized by God, the Creator God, and to that Christ is doing all he has provided all the tools that we need to and has accepted us as part of the kingdom of God. Conflict between God and a powerful spiritual the Christian's union with the exalted Christ, there are issues that are involved. There's a conflict between God and the powerful spiritual forces. It's a conflict and a purpose that come to focus in the history of redemption. In verse 3 that I read in chapter 1, it talks about their union with the exalted Christ. It's our through the union with the exalted Christ, Christians have already been made beneficiaries of every spiritual blessing that belongs to and comes from the heavenly places. In verse 20 and through 23, Christ is exalted, and that's in chapter 1, to that realm, and his elevation over all powers and titles, so that he rules over all for the sake of his church. Then in chapter 2, verse 5, he talks about those who have been made alive with Christ, and then in verse 6, we share in Christ's exaltation and enthronement in heaven. And in chapter 3, verse 10, by the gathering of the Gentiles and the Jews into one body of Christ, which is the church, God triumphantly displays his manifold wisdom to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly realm. As a result, the spiritual struggle of the saints here and now is not so much against flesh and blood as against the great spiritual forces that war against God in heaven. And you're looking at going to verse 12 here in our reading. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against the spiritual wickedness in high places. He's declaring that, you know, it is people that we face and people that we deal with, and it's people that these heavenly, these rulers of the powers of darkness use people to bring conflict into our lives many times, and sometimes it's our own doings as well. Sometimes it's the poor decisions and the bad things that we do that bring some of this conflict on us. But in our battle in a Christian life, there has always been this conflict between God and Satan and the spiritual forces, Satan and his angels. And it was from his birth to his death. And then since then, he's been attacking God's people, the church. And he's trying to destroy the church. And that's his aim and that's his goal, because he hates God. He knows that there is no chance. There is no way that he will ever be able to experience anything else, but he knows his future is hell, and that's where he's going. And he's trying to get back at God, because even in Jesus' early ministry in Matthew 4, when he was called out into the wilderness and Jesus was tempted there, and Satan tried his best. He thought surely he could get Jesus to fall on one of these temptations, those three different ones. One was the bread. The other was he took him to the pinnacle of the temple. And the third one was he offered him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory with them. But Jesus turned him down, and he quoted scripture. Last Sunday, Dale talked about the power of the word. And that's what Jesus used to overcome Satan, and so you and I as well. In our reading today, one of the garments of our armor is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We need that to be able to stand and to be strong in the Lord as we fight this battle that we are in with the enemy. And again, it's not people that are our enemies, but it's behind all the scenes is this ruler of darkness that is inflicting and is motivating people and working through people to, again, work against God. We see that in many different forms and many different ways. He's still working hard to destroy the church of God, and he will to the very end. This fight will never give up, or will never end for you and I until our lives are over. And so, again, the writer here, Paul, talking to the Ephesians, and Jesus in his ministry and in his writings and in his teachings, again, he's encouraging us, encouraging the people then. He's encouraging us to be faithful, to be strong, to stand. Because it's not if you will face conflict, it's when you will. Be prepared for it. And it will come in many different ways and shapes and forms. Verse 13, it talks about we need the whole armor of God. If we only have a part of the armor, if the soldier that goes out into battle and he doesn't have all his armor, he doesn't have his... I'll use the description of the ancient, maybe the biblical warrior that would go out. And what it describes here is the shield to defend and to ward off the arrows that would come at him. He would have his spear or and his sword, and he would have a helmet, and he would have something around his middle loins and his legs and his feet shod to protect him from the enemy. But if he leaves one of those off, he's not totally prepared to face the enemy, and he can easily be killed or hurt. So you and I as well. You know, the armor is only good if we put it on and if we use it. If there's no conflict, we really don't need the armor, do we? And so he's giving the indication that you're going to face conflict. And so you need to be prepared for that, and you need to be fully dressed for that. And as I said earlier, none of us like conflict, and we try to run from it. And people do run from it, but it doesn't solve the answer, or it doesn't solve the problem, just because we try to get away from it. But if we have the armor on, we can stand strong in the Lord, and we can God can work in and through us and help us with that conflict. If any part of the armor is missing, we open ourselves to be defeated. God is working on our behalf. God is with us. And I want to leave some verses of encouragement with that. Before I go to that, a verse here about David and when he faced Goliath in 1 Samuel 17:47. We need to remember that, you know, we think the battle is ours, so we're going to do everything in our own power if we can. But David told Goliath, he said, the battle is not mine, but it's the Lord's. And so, and also I think it was in, it's another Old Testament scripture, one of the prophets that God told, I think it was Jehoshaphat, actually, King Jehoshaphat. He told him, the battle is not yours, but it's mine. I will fight it for you. So remember that. As you face conflict, as you take your stand, that God is on your side and God is battling for it. If you don't have God, you aren't going to be able to stand, and you're not going to be able to make it through. If you're not rooted, if you're not grounded, if you're not sure, if you're not secure, if you don't know where you stand, that gives the devil an open door to come in and to take you where you don't want to go. It gives us security when we are strong and we stand strong. John 10:28, Jesus said, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck or snatch them out of my hand. So we are secure in God as long as we put on the armor and we stay in the Word with God to help us. Again, Ephesians, the first verse, 6:10, it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. There is strength promised for us. I'm going to read a few verses that tell us, to encourage us, that we can have the strength that God has provided that. Isaiah 40, verse 31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Again, showing us that the Lord shall renew our strength. He will help us. In the battle, we'll get tired. We'll be tempted to give up. We may be discouraged. But he says, stand. Stand firm. Hang on. And you will come through it. And you will have wings as eagles. and you'll run, you'll be able to go on your way. Isaiah 41:10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. And in Ephesians 3:16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might in his spirit in the inner man. These are promises that God has given us to help us to be strong and to stand. There's also strength in weakness. You know, you're not always on top of the mountain. You're not always feeling like you could conquer the world. You have those times when you wonder. And 1 Corinthians 1:27, Paul says, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. Then also in 2 Corinthians 12:9-10, these are the verses that I was referring to earlier, as Paul, as he looks at his own life, and he says, and this refers to when Paul asked God three times to remove the thorn in his flesh, and then Jesus answered, and he said, and my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Paul definitely was at a different level than I am. I don't know that I can say that. And yet, we don't know, really. We're not that familiar with persecution. We're not really that familiar with hard times. Oh, yes, we've faced hard times. We've come through times when we didn't have a lot of things, and we wondered where our next food maybe would come from. But Paul says, I take pleasure in these infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities. Do you like it when someone criticizes you and says things about you that maybe are not true, but maybe from their perspective, it's the way they see it? Do you like that? To be persecuted? I read the Voice of the Martyrs magazine, and again, it's so typical of those that are facing these things that I don't know anything about, really. Their responses to their captors, their responses of rather than turning tail and running or hiding, maybe they do meet in secret, but at the same time they proclaim God to the people, knowing that they probably will be arrested, maybe imprisoned, maybe killed, tortured, whatever. But they go ahead with it, and they do it. Why do they do that? Why can Paul say this, that I take pleasure in this? What glory does God get from all that? Human weakness provides the ideal opportunity for the display of divine power. That's the only answer that I can give. It's not that he's saying, I want you to do this to me. I want this to happen. No, he's saying that because it happens, he's not going to give up his faith in Christ because those things come and those things happen. Remember, God is our strength. If you're going to try to stand on your own, you're going to fall. Psalm 28:8, David says, the Lord is their strength. And I think in one of the next verses, he says, he is my strength. And he is the saving strength of his anointed. Psalm 46:1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And in Psalm 73, 26, my flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. As we go through life and as we face these conflicts, God has promised us strength to be able to go through them. He's, even when we find ourselves to be weak, He has promised to be there and to be strong for us. God is our strength. Sometimes dads lift their children and put their children on their shoulders so that the children have a better view of what's out there. God sets us firm upon His promises to give us a greater vision of His love. You know, without pain, there is no gain. Without persecution, we don't appreciate what Jesus did for us. Without affliction, without conflict, there would be no need of this armor. But all the writers, and I was going to turn to Hebrews 11 also, there's a number of verses there that describe what people went through, what they faced, and how they went through that. Peter talks about it in 1 Peter 5:10. He says, "But the Lord of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you." And so it's through suffering that we become the men and women with integrity and character that God wants to have and see in us. And just prior to this, this is Peter talking there, and just back in his earlier life, Jesus in Luke 22:32, He looked at Peter and He said, "I have prayed for you, Peter, that thy faith fail not." This is the same man. Earlier, before, and I think Jesus said, "When you're converted, go and strengthen your brothers." And Peter did that. After Peter, God became real in Peter's life, Peter became a real strong person in the kingdom of God. So today, I don't know if there's someone here that's sometimes you feel like giving up, you feel like quitting, you feel like going away. It's just not worth it. I want to read to you Revelation 3, verse 2. It's talking, Jesus talking there to the church of Sardis. And He says, "Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die." That's the main what I wanted. The rest of the verse is, "For I have not found thy works perfect before God." I trust that that's not true of any of us today, that He hasn't found our works perfect before God. But I want to encourage us, be watchful. If we're going to be strong, we have to be watching. We have to do not allow the enemy to come upon us in a surprise. And He says, strengthen the things which remain. So there are some good things that are still there. There is still some hope. There is still some desire. Don't let that die. But strengthen it through the power of God's word. What we need to stand strong with is, number one, we need God. If God's not involved, then we are certainly doomed. That's why the unbeliever doesn't have the power and doesn't have the ability to do some of the, do right, and it's why they do some of the things that they do, because they're being controlled by the power of the ruler of the darkness. Number two, we need the Holy Spirit. If we have God, we will have the Holy Spirit. I believe that. But without the power of the Spirit in our lives, we'll be defeated. Number three, we need God's word, the truth. In verse 17, He talks about the sword of the Spirit being the Word of God. And number four, in verse 18, he says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. That gives me the picture of a person such as a sentry or a watchman that's out there, that's all alert, part of him is watching and looking so that there is no surprise. Persevere. You're going to have to put some effort into it. You're going to have to work. You're going to have to try. You're going to have to be determined if you're going to stand, if you're going to be strong. And pray. How much do you pray? How much should you pray? I'm not going to answer that for you. You have to answer that for yourself. I don't know how much you pray. But we need to pray. It says, pray always. And do it with perseverance. Work at it. You know, when you really intercede for someone, it's work. You can even, Jesus' sweat was like blood when he was praying. He was that intense in his prayer. Not only for himself, I think, for what he was facing, but for the people that he was going to the cross for. How intense are you in your prayer for your fellow brother and sister in the church, for your friends, for your family? Let's persevere. Let's not give up. Again, if we're going to be strong, we need to take the instructions that God gives us and to be fully dressed with his armor so that we can stand. Do we have a closing song? 70? 70 in the folder. You can stand when you find that. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we're grateful again today for what you have done and the work that Jesus accomplished on the cross for us as believers today. We thank you that we can have the confidence and the assurance that you are with us, you are at our side, and that you are encouraging us and you are helping us, and that you are wanting us to succeed, wanting us to stand, and wanting us to be strong. I pray a blessing on each person that is here today. I pray that you would minister to each of our hearts, that you would draw us to yourself. You know what is within each of our hearts. You know where we are with you. You know what we're facing. You know what we're thinking. God, help us that we would not let those things die, but that we would strengthen those things that are about to die and not let them go. I pray, Father, that you would give us the power of the Holy Spirit to overcome the powers of darkness, and that so that we can walk in the light that and that you have shown to us and given to us through your word. So again, I pray, bless us as we part. May your Spirit direct us and guide us through this week. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.